Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Exciting times. Shamrock Shake says he watched some original Mickey Mouse shorts. In one, Minnie was putting on a hoochie-coochie dance at a fair. She had a pimp or handler. Mickey was selling sausages. Yeah, I had some of the copies of the original Disney's because at some point I think they got liberated from copyright or something like this. And they made a whole like ultimate CD of all these digitally recovered originals. And I had bought this, I remember. It was very different than the current woke Disney. And now we learn that Disney is in trouble on many fronts. Elon is going after them with Gina Carano for firing her for political beliefs, basically. That's one case where it's pretty clear that someone was too right-wing for Hollywood, too right-wing for Disney, and she got fired from her role in a ridiculous titty series that I don't care about whatsoever, but I care about her liberty to be an artist while being right-wing. The Anteater has evolved a camouflage tactic that is quite impressive. His legs look like a separate animal. Look at this. As a biologist, I didn't know this, and I had never seen this. I can't believe my eyes. It's like different animals are attacking you. Three different animals, a chimera of sorts. See, it looks like a raccoon is attacking you from the side. A anteater is attacking you from the middle. Which one do I hit? Which one do I fight back against? Hit the one in the middle, Rocky! Look at this. His legs, they have fake eyes. This is where you know that the theory of evolution is true. You end up having legs that look like a head. Because it's more scary. I would be scared if that was to happen to me. So someone has been using double bags at Walmart, got called out by the lady at Walmart. He says, if you don't like the way I'm bagging the groceries, feel free to come on over here and bag them yourself. She says, that's not my job. Now they argue. She says, you should just put less stuff in the bags and then not double bag. And then he shows her a bag in which he had double bagged a box of milk and a container of juice. And he's like, if I divide this one, I will be dividing them into two separate bags. Why wouldn't I double bag and put them in the same bag? That's the same amount of bag at the end. I will have used two bags. But she stubbornly continued to say, no, you won't be using two bags because you won't be double bagging. So little mathematics problem here on the side of the Walmart employee. But listen, I don't expect good math from a Walmart employee. Tucker Carlson has been announcing that he will be, he has already, in fact, interviewed Vladimir Putin. That is very interesting. It's one of the most awaited interviews that I've heard from in the last few, maybe in the last decade. People are excited. People want to see it. People are speculating it will be perhaps the most viewed interview in the history of X on video. That is very interesting. And I'm saying Tucker Carlson may single-handedly cause U.S. peace with Russia because we're going to get the other side. There's always been a couple of interviews with Russia, with Vladimir Putin from big mainstream journalists, but they would all be there and try to defend a kind of liberal view against him. It would be hostile interviews of sorts. But with Tucker Carlson, generally what we get is a human look into the other side. It's a sympathetic look. And so we'll really get to see what's inside the mind of Vladimir Putin, at least I hope. And he was explaining, we should be able to hear. We should be civilizations in communication rather than constantly lying about each other, smearing each other.
Has utterly reshaped the global military and trade alliances. And the sanctions that followed have as well. And in total, they have upended the world economy. The post-World War II economic order, the system that guaranteed prosperity in the West for more than 80 years, is coming apart very fast, and along with it, the dominance of the U.S. dollar. These are not small changes. They are history-altering developments. They will define the lives of our grandchildren. Most of the world understands this perfectly well. They can see it. Ask anyone in Asia or the Middle East what the future looks like. And yet the populations of the English-speaking countries seem mostly unaware. They think that as nothing has really changed. And they think that because no one has told them the truth. Their media outlets are corrupt. They lie to their readers and viewers. And they do that mostly by omission. For example, since the day the war in Ukraine began, American media outlets have spoken to scores of people from Ukraine, and they have done scores of interviews with Ukrainian President Zelensky. We ourselves have put in a request for an interview with Zelensky, and we hope he accepts. But the interviews he's already done in the United States are not traditional interviews. They are fawning pep sessions specifically designed to amplify Zelensky's demand that the U.S. enter more deeply into a war in Eastern Europe and pay for it. That is not journalism. It is government propaganda.
Absolutely. Tucker is right on target here. It's the perfect mindset to be entering this interview with Putin. And I can't wait to see it. I'm very excited personally. I will update you guys whenever we see it. I will make a show about it to analyze what's being said. What I expect is that Vladimir Putin will do a little bit what he's done in the Oliver Stone documentaries. There's a series of two documentaries, Ukraine on Fire, I believe, and the other one was some other title. And we'll just see a Vladimir Putin that explains his thinking around the oppression of the Russian-speaking people of Ukraine, the aggressivity of the American Empire, and the historical legitimacy of there being Russian populations there, and the fact that Russia has been waiting and has been trying everything on the side of peace before they considered going in. In fact, it was relatively late when they considered going in because it had been about a decade of suffering for the Russian-speaking people of Ukraine. And amazingly, someone is bringing up Gonzalo Lira on the regular chat. It's quite amazing that we are asked to believe that the Tucker interview is a meeting with the enemy. But Vladimir Putin didn't execute Gonzalo Lira. Vladimir, it's our allies who have led him to die in jail. It's our Zelensky allies. It's Ukraine. It's our side with whom I have a legitimate issue with what has been committed. Putin hasn't done any of this. So in the end, the whole idea that we are meeting with the enemy here, the true enemy is the political class of America and its alliance with the political class of Ukraine, who have plotted together a plan that was certain to result in the death of Ukrainians by the thousands, by the tens of thousands. That is the enemy class. It's not Putin and it's not Tucker. Now, here's a point where I've been absolutely right on target, guys. I cannot believe this one. You know, sometimes I make wild calls here on the show. And sometimes I'm joking, sometimes I'm half joking. But most of the time, I'm right, even when I'm joking. And so this one, I got called crazy for it. there were some people on the chat who said, Jeff, you have gone insane. You are literally insane. It's not happening. You are deluded. What a crappy prediction that is. I predicted that Elon Musk must have inseminated a Jewish woman. Because I analyzed all of the political thinking around Elon Musk. Why is he doing what he does? Why is Elon Musk allowing free speech on X and then going to Auschwitz and making all this Jewish pandering? And I was like, there is some irrationality here. This level of irrationality doesn't exist in Elon's brain. Elon is a big enough thinker that he wouldn't be so inconsistent. And when you have great minds like Elon and you have no political explanation for what they do and no rational justification for what they do, it must be that they are being torn by their alliances with the humankind. And I concluded the reason we see so much Jewish pandering on the side of Elon is not even that he's trying to politically play us or that he's walking back on his free speech stuff. Or it's just that he has inseminated a Jewish woman. And so he knows that there are Jewish babies in the world that belong to him. And he knows that in the future, some of them might be raised as Jewish or rejected from society as Jewish. So 1 month ago, I conjectured that Elon Musk must have impregnated a Jewish woman. My wild conjecture was based on the following observations. 1. Elon seemed to suddenly be emotionally sympathetic to Jewish causes. 2. Elon seemed to be irrational in some of his endeavors, such as Neuralink, which he talks about with great passion, but doesn't really accomplish much beside what is already done in university research. 3. Many of you had political explanations for these behaviors, but I said what truly drives Elon is reproductive success and scientific curiosity, and therefore it was extremely likely that the sudden whims of Elon were due to love-related hormonal changes that he experienced after impregnating a Jewish woman. We now learn that Elon has indeed impregnated a Jewish woman. Indeed, he inseminated his Neuralink Jewish executive. My predictive power scares me sometimes. Some of you owe me an apology for calling me crazy. This morning on my Yahoo News, I see this. Elon Musk had twins with his top Neuralink executive, Shivan Zillis, a senior executive at Neuralink. Now, eventually, people showed me that this news item is actually an old news item. But I personally didn't know about it, and certainly it hadn't been discussed that Shivan Alice is of Jewish descent. She is a child of a Punjabi Indian and a Jewish Canadian. And then people also showed me something that I didn't know. Grimes also was Jewish. Here we have Grimes on Twitter saying, "My family literally left Ukraine because it wasn't a chill vibe to be Jewish, y'all." So also Grimes coming from a Jewish family. So my prediction, although some of this information apparently predates my prediction, but I just didn't know about it. But my prediction comes to be confirmed twice. Elon Musk basically is decent, is Jewish. That's the code. You know, when he says things like, "I'm aspirationally Jewish," that's what he means. He means he has dick. He has his dick in Jewishness. That's what aspirationally Jewish means for Elon. Shamrock Shake says, "Is he still with Grimes?" No, he's not with her. I believe she had behavioral problems and he was kind of trying to keep her in a separate house or a room. But eventually they said that the travel was too tough on them, the travel of Elon and his absence. But I don't think it was the travel. And Elon tweeted not so long after separating from Grimes, the feeling when your ex is CIA. So was it an operation pulled on Elon, this whole Grimes thing? I don't know. It could be. You know, maybe there's a certain level of intelligence operators who do go to the extent of actually bearing the baby of the people they infiltrate. Like, if there was one guy on whom they would pull that kind of thing, it certainly would be Elon. Usferia says it wasn't the travel, it was the incessant gvitching. Yeah, gvitching, I don't know how to say this word. But yeah, I mean, someone like Grimes, you can see just from the emotionality of her video clips and her really out there behavior, she must be some huge mental issue. Like, she must be a problem to live with. I can see the red flags in her case. Wide and shiny. Frog Eyes says, I'm always worried Adam Green's wife and kid are Mossad agents. And he doesn't even know it. Well, you know, when you take it to that level, it's okay. Like, okay, I accept you are bearing my babies. Maybe you're an agent, but I will act as if you're not an agent because you're carrying my babies. It's not like they can disappear. You have proven your worth. Okay. Justin, Gina Carano to file lawsuit against Disney and Lucasfilm for firing her for political beliefs. And this is following the appeal of Elon Musk, who had said he will support any lawsuit of people who have freely spoken on X and got fired for it. A lawyer funded by X has taken on Carano's case, along with several others. Carano is initiating legal action against Lucasfilm and Disney, following her dismissal from The Mandalorian due to her social media activity. Carano expressed her eligibility for this support in response to Musk's tweet, a sentiment echoed by thousands of users. Subsequently, a lawyer funded by X has taken on Carano's case, along with several others. She explains that she had a 20-year career, she had a role on The Mandalorian, and it was increased scrutiny, basically. It was people dunking on her on social media, leftist, over-monitoring her and misinterpreting every possible tweet and constructing it as, oh, she's an evil racist. And she says, look at your own eyes at what I posted and ask yourself, for example, where did I compare Republicans to the Jewish people in the Holocaust? I didn't. Ask yourself why they were calling me a racist. Was there any merit behind that or history of it whatsoever? No. Look at why I was called a transphobe. For making droid noises from Star Wars, beep, bop, boop, was obviously directed to the online bullies and did not in any way denigrate transgender people. So basically, she was just naively using her Twitter, expressing her emotions and how she felt, and people were misconstruing her statements. A new guy says she got holocausted for drawing comparisons to the Holocaust. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Meanwhile, Elon is publishing, I think we may have already seen this, but Elon is republishing or publishing something that was sent to him by a Disney insider. This is apparently the sheet that orders all of the Disney filmmakers and producers and whatever to include diversity in their shows. Now, you can go standard D. You can go standard C, which is below the line. You can go standard B, which is creative leadership. Or you can go standard A, on-screen representation. Now, when you reach standard A, you are up there among the woke liberals, and you are a good show for Disney. So the characters would have 50% or more of regular and recurring written characters come from underrepresented groups. Of course, I'd like to know if white people are in the underrepresented group, because I think that white Europeans, non-Jewish descendants of Christians, are underrepresented right now in Hollywood and in Disney. So 50% must come from minorities, 50% of actors coming from minorities, secondary character, meaningful inclusion. The premise must include themes related to underrepresented groups in themes and narratives, and episodic storytelling. There must be a meaningful integration of underrepresented groups and episodic themes and narratives. Now, no wonder that we end up with a terrible Disney production with all this. I mean, you now have people writing stuff. They are fully constrained creatively. Can you imagine writing a good movie or a good book or a good anything? And you're like, every day you have to think, how do I insert more blackness in this? How do I make the story blackness and the actors black and every... Of course, you end up with exactly what we're seeing on the screen, which is crappy movies that are moralizing, and you can feel the moralization through. Nicholas Petris says, wow, this really says a lot about the entertainment industry. Yeah, exactly. You cannot create something good, something emotional, if you have to intellectually think, oh, how do I insert this? Because then you become a product placement agency for liberal beliefs, basically. Tuttle Grimm says, make it gay and lame. Apparently, that's the word from the top at Disney. Make it gay and lame. Oh, yeah. So that's why, I've been thinking of it from a racial perspective. But if underrepresented groups includes homosexuals, LGBT, that's exactly why they shaved the head of Millie Bobby Brown. That's why we got a Millie Bobby Brown without long hair. So, oops, you got a short hair female represented in Strange Things. I can't believe that they went that far. Like, we're going to have to shave your head, lady. Like, you are a young adult at the most beautiful part of your life, but we have to ruin your beauty because we have to meet standard A. Go Away says, no, they shaved my waifu's hair, and why did no one tell me? Well, they don't tell you because it looks bad when these things come out. So here we have the interaction between Elon Musk and Gina Carano. Please let us know if you would like to join the lawsuit against Disney. I'm not sure if he's offering her, or if he's offering the general public, or if he's offering potentially other actors who may have been fired for the same reason as Gina Carano. I don't know. But in any case, it's good that a very decided Elon is going at it. And perhaps we will have a legitimate legal history here that will say, you don't do this anymore. You don't fire people for political beliefs. Because in the U.S., it's not clear everywhere that you can't fire people for political beliefs. In Canada, most of our charters of rights, they include political beliefs within the protected characteristics. But in the U.S., it's rarely mentioned explicitly. It's not mentioned in the First Amendment. It's very often not mentioned in the smaller statutes around fairness of employment and stuff like this in states. But still, you could have that protection even if it's not explicitly mentioned like it is in Canada. Michael Saylor has some good news. He's continuing to buy bitcoins. MicroStrategy acquired an additional 850 bitcoin for $37.2 million and now holds 190,000 BTC. Wow. Michael Saylor doesn't stop to amaze everyone, and he's not giving up. He's continuing his pile, his gigantic pile of bitcoin. One day I might sell my bitcoin to Michael Saylor. I don't know. One day I might be tempted to be part of his great pile. U.S. Secretary Janet Yellen, what an evil witch. She wants regulation of non-security crypto. That is Bitcoin, ETH. That is, she wants a crackdown on this free market. I hate her.
Council is focused on digital assets and related risks, such as runs on crypto asset platforms and stable coins.
Well, you can do all the runs you want. It's just going to increase the price of my Bitcoin.
Potential vulnerabilities from crypto asset price volatility and the proliferation of platforms acting outside of or out of compliance with applicable laws and regulations. Applicable rules and regulations should be enforced.
No, don't do it.
Congress should pass legislation to provide for the regulation of stable coins.
See, they're going after this. They're going after us because they lost. They totally lost. They have realized that there's no way in the future where the Fed will not have to print infinite amounts of US dollars, and Bitcoin is there to absorb all of it. Bitcoin is there to protect the sense of property while they try to mess with it. Bitcoin has done exactly what it had to do. And that's why they're afraid. That's why they're going after, well, if we could at least legislate it and cause some troubles in the Bitcoin economy, perhaps we could mess with it a little bit. Binance is breaking my heart. Binance is delisting a couple of tokens, importantly XMR. That is a historical moment because XMR had always been the token by which it is possible to, if you go into Binance with BTC, you can output them to XMR. That's Monero. So you send them to a couple of wallets and then you bring them back to Binance and then you buy Bitcoin with it and poof, your entire transactional history in the Bitcoin world has been anonymized. No one will know where this Bitcoin amount comes from. Now, sadly, Binance is removing it, probably because Binance is trying to take the direction. I think that Binance has been hammered so hard with lawsuits and SEC threats and lawsuits against the CEO, CZ. They probably chose to go the legal way, and they chose that to reduce the potential paths from which hidden money could meddle with non-hidden money. Private money will not have its place in the Binance future, which as far as I'm concerned, Binance, that means it's becoming really a centralized exchange owned by the governments and controlled by the governments. That's okay, but it's really too bad because Binance used to be on the other side. Binance precisely allowed all sorts of transactions with private coins that were helping to anonymize. Stephen Robinson says, like Tornado Cash. Well, Tornado Cash is an option that is supposedly hiding the source of funds. It does so, in my view, with a mitigated success, but it's supposed to do so, yes. But XMR was doing it for real in the sense that you cannot trace six wallets back in XMR. You cannot trace above a certain number of jumps. So, yeah, it's sad to go, but there will be other exchanges that will show up and that will undertake this place in the market. Amazingly, we have learned that Joe Rogan has 5.24 Bitcoin worth over $226,000. This is where I realized, wow, you know, Bitcoin is the great equalizer. In the end of it all, long after my death, I may end up richer than Joe Rogan. That's all that Joe Rogan has, $200,000 worth of Bitcoin. Isn't that fascinating? So I may very well die with more Bitcoin than Joe Rogan. That is so amazing. People were telling me, yeah, Jeff, and even his real money is totally fictitious because he's in debt. I don't know that situation. I don't know if he's in debt. It seems to me that he is so successful, he must have extra money somewhere. I don't see a Joe Rogan being in trouble economically. But it's great to see that once you remove all the extra, ultimately we are nothing else but the Bitcoins that are left when we die. Go Away says, unrealized gains, JF. Don't count your chicken before they hatch. Well, I'm just saying. Balloon Nut sends a super chat. He says, they came for Jean-François. They know he's Québécois. They craved his je ne sais quoi. They called him too bourgeois. They came for Jean-François. They know he's Québécois. They craved his je ne sais quoi. They called him too bourgeois. They came for Jean-François. Imitating here the killer. The killer who recently killed his father. Oh my God. Justin Moon. They came for Justin Moon. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says that the border deal is dead. That is a very welcome news because it was getting ridiculous. It was like, oh, we won't vote for your Ukraine money unless you vote for our border money. Oh, well, we won't vote for the border money unless you vote for our Israel money. And it was a triangle of, we're going to have to send extra money to Ukraine, extra money to Israel, and extra money to the NGOs that are allowing illegal migrants in the U.S. That was ridiculous. It was even ridiculous that the Republicans simply entertained this at all. And so now we learn that the deal is falling. Well, good thing.
Senator Ted Cruz had a press conference around noon today, said that you shouldn't have even tried to negotiate with Democrats, said this bill was designed to fail, and that it's time for you to step down as GOP leader. What's your response to that?
I think we can all agree that Senator Cruz is not a fan.
Well, yeah, it was ridiculous to know that there is a branch of the Republican Party that is so thirsty for war money that they would compromise on basically supporting illegal immigration. That is ridiculous. The president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis explains why he is skeptical of Bitcoin as a currency.
Skeptic about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Can you explain your concern?
Yeah. So I travel around and I do talks like this. I do a lot in universities. And inevitably in the university context, there are a number of students who want to ask me about Bitcoin. And I always ask them, has anybody in this room ever bought something with Bitcoin? Not bought Bitcoin. bought something using Bitcoin as a currency? I mean, a sandwich, a computer, a book, anything?
Maybe there's no money to be made in sandwich buying. Have you ever considered this? Have you ever considered that the people we asked to stand at the cashier, paid by the hour, waiting for these $3, $5 sandwich? Have you ever considered that it may not be economically viable? Because there is definitely a use case for Bitcoin, which is, how do I send $10 billion to my billionaire friend because we have a deal? You don't have to hear exactly what that deal is about, but we need to make it happen. How do we do it? Bitcoin is a great tool for this.
Anybody ever bought anything using Bitcoin as a currency? No. I've never met somebody who's bought something using Bitcoin as a currency. So I always ask, what problem is this trying to solve? Well, first I heard, well, it's an inflation hedge.
And it does that perfectly. It does that so perfectly, the Fed is now shaking in its pants. Because they know that even if they were to print USD, they wouldn't have the prior end on deciding where that money is headed. Because by the time they would be distributing that money, there would already be an increase in the Bitcoin price that would be equivalent to their thirst of printing. And so we have divided power. We have split power away from the Fed and the US government, and we're taking it back. And the more Bitcoin is adopted, the more that split is advantageous to Bitcoiners. Master Slave says, BTC is like a Ponzi scheme where old adopters are trying to bring in new adopters to pump it. Eventually, there won't be enough new adopters to sustain the old adopters. Well, first, everything respects this definition. Everything fits this definition. Stock markets, anything you can buy, any product you can buy respects this definition. Now, when is the point at which people will get away from Bitcoin? My bet is not in my lifetime, quite simply. Not in my lifetime, not even in the lifetime of my children.
Well, then when we had this big inflation spike, I said, darn it, we're going to make these Bitcoin guys feel like they were right. But then it turned out inflation or Bitcoin was a terrible inflation hedge.
This is a lie. This is an absolute lie. This guy is looking at the bottom of the bear market and he's saying, oh, see, terrible inflation hedge. But the fact is that most of the time, if you've held to Bitcoin through the bear market, at most of the times of the year, Bitcoin has surpassed its role as an inflation hedge. Bitcoin is the only thing you could have bought to be a supra-inflation, to be supra-inflation in our economy over 10, 15 years. The only way you can accomplish this right now is with crypto. So absolutely lying here. Lying and misguiding the youth away from Bitcoin, well, that makes more Bitcoin for us. John Drake says, Bitcoin will eat everything. People will want on the train at any price someday soon. Yeah, we're not even in the crazy period of Bitcoin. That is what's fascinating. Because I found myself today, I was thinking, do I sell at 120K? Do I sell at 160K? Because I'm starting to believe the propaganda again that we may be headed toward 500K. But that is exactly what I believed on the last bull run. But the last bull run was not super, was kind of a under the peak bull run. It was not as intense as others before. But what happened in the last bull run is I decided to hold on to the Bitcoin. And I'm starting to think I may still be attached to it, this bull run too. It's going to be hard to sell, let me tell you, at 120, 160K, because I'm going to be like, oh, well, what if it goes to 500K? What if it goes there? Stephen Robinson says, bro, you will be lucky to get 120. The last bull run, Elon bought and the Fed printed more money than ever before. Yeah, but they did so under a crash of the economy, under a COVID circumstance. So there was mixed signals that went into Bitcoin. I think that when the Fed decides to literally go into a new economic cycle of massive money printing and expansionary politics, I think you're going to see a much more massive effect on Bitcoin than even what you saw in COVID, because COVID was coming with uncertainty, hits onto the stock market price, and a massive drop of Bitcoin value. Jaden McNeil is bringing up the fact that Bryson Gray is losing it after blocking him because he asked why he called out the girl that made a cake in a t-shirt when his wife posted a video making a cake to less than 92k followers. I guess Bryson only has issue with you if you're white. So basically, we are back to the cake gate, the gigantic boob of Isabella, and the fact that, yeah, I mean, you would see this girl. This is the wife, apparently, of Bryson Gray, a conservative commentator, a black conservative commentator. And it's like, yeah, this is objectively more revealing than this. It's just that... Oh my God, how do I explain this? It's just that those boobs are more desirable. It's like she shows less of them, but you have to grant it to her, you know? It's not necessarily her fault if her boobs are more desirable than her boobs. And so is it overexposing herself to be just wearing shirts that are actually less revealing than a shirt that you wouldn't call revealing? That you wouldn't complain that this girl is non-conservative. Sometimes there are injustices in life, and I believe it's just a case. The cake gate lady was the victim of an injustice to some extent. Esferia says she knows she's not a size extra small, JF. She's doing it on purpose. Yeah, I mean, she may very well. But then the other girl, is she doing it on purpose, you know? And why is no one complaining about the wife of Bryson Gray? Paris knife attack suspect told TikTok followers he hated France and claimed he would soon be welcomed in paradise by Allah. But police say stabbing spree wasn't terror related. You can literally say, I hate the country I'm in. I hate you guys. I'm killing you because I hate you. As long as you're doing this to white Frenchmen in France, you're okay. You're not gonna be sued for hate crimes. That's why we have to give up these hate addition enhancements of sentence. Because it's all a scam that we cannot benefit from. If it was reciprocal, if it was that everyone who's hateful in their criminality ends up being caught by the law, then sure, bring it up. But it's obviously been designed to favor black people and disfavor white people. Trump calls for immediate debates against Biden. For the good of the country, he can't talk, he can't do anything. He's ruining our country, and I don't think he's going to run. I don't know if it's donors or otherwise. It might be his family, it might be something. I don't think he's going to run. I'd like to call for immediate debates. I'd like to debate him now because we should debate. We should debate for the good of the country. Yeah, I don't know. Biden, you know, is a very, very old man. It's going to be very hard for him to live through his old presidency without dying. And so people were pointing out, you know, given just the stats, just the basic stats of death at what, 80 to 84 years old, something like this. Just the basic stats of deaths give you about a 50% chance that Kamala Harris will be president. It's a coin flip on Kamala Harris being your president. I'm trying to imitate here the laughs of Kamala Harris. It's not looking good. So I think we should vote Trump, definitely. Ilya Schaefer says, I predicted this. YouTube reached out to me to clarify that discussing the New York synagogue tunnels is now considered hate speech on the ground that it's using a conspiracy theory to demean a protected group. The tunnels are now conspiracy. I mean, YouTube, I don't expect rationality from YouTube anymore, but look, there's no conspiracy here. The Jews literally were digging tunnels, literally to extend their synagogue into some other building. They were doing so against the law. It was so against the law that the local city administration had to pour concrete into their tunnels. They were so digging these tunnels that when the police arrived to kick them out of the tunnel, one of them popped out from under a from a sewer outlet. That's not a conspiracy theory. Those are literally the facts. I can't believe that we're getting smashed for just basic coverage of events that have actually happened 1 month ago. I can't believe that YouTube is trying to censor this. But that's why I've been out of YouTube, you know. I just don't see the future. If we can't just talk about the truth. You know, this happened to be a freaking hilarious story. But if we can't talk about it, then we can't have fun here. Israel demands Lebanon remove Hezbollah 20 miles from the border. Beirut refuses. Israel's military has issued a new assessment which estimates it has launched attacks on some 3,000 Hezbollah sites in Lebanon, in Syria, since the war started after October 7th. Israel has said that it's prepared to open another front with a military attack on southern Lebanon if Hezbollah doesn't move back to about 20 miles from the border, as per the terms of a long-standing United Nations resolution. So continuation of the hostility here. I think it's just going to keep going. Major differences from Trump case. The Washington Post front runs a DOJ decision not to charge Biden over mishandled classified docs. You know how they always went after Trump for having boxes of classified documents. And the same was found in the house of Biden, in the garage. There were pictures taken, and there were classified boxes in the Biden garage. But that's not a breach of the law. That's all good. Our DOJ lawyers have been looking into it, and you don't have to be scared. It's only a breach of the law when Trump does it. And a last news item before we close the show. MS-13 gang member, Al-Qaeda terrorist found living illegally in the U.S. Here, Kayla Hamilton, pictured with her mother, Tammy Nobles, was allegedly raped and murdered by a 16-year-old illegal immigrant, later identified as an MS-13 gang member. He was housed with Kayla in a government-run foster home. These foster home men. Of course, they're going to have to be inclusive and accepting of everyone. And of course, it's going to lead the worst of society in these places. And of course, if your children find themselves in these places, they will be worsened by them rather than improved by them. Members of the notorious MS-13 gang, as well as several terrorists, including one linked to Al-Qaeda and another trendy Aragua, Venezuela's largest criminal organization, have recently been arrested by immigration officials in U.S. cities, including Baltimore, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, and Chicago. Well, that is the consequence of an open border. All right, I'm going to go to sleep. I've been shoveling lots of snow today. I have big pain in the back. It's a lot of effort. And in fact, I tried moving my car. My car was stuck because there was too much snow even under my car that was kind of lifting my car. Thankfully, someone came and helped me push it out of its bank of ice and snow. I'm going to go relax, and hopefully, I hope that we will get the Putin interview of Tucker very soon. Frederick von Finkel says, how easy is it to make fire from raw materials with no tools? It's relatively easy if you have the training. There's this method with a stick, and it's all about rotating the stick with, if you have rope or something that's rope-like, you roll it around the stick and you de-roll it while making an acceleration of the stick in the rotatory direction. And if that stick is put onto a piece of wood, it will create heat. Or you can just roll the stick also like this, but this requires training. It requires a lot of force being applied, but if you're trained, it's very easy with any piece of wood to start a fire. But 99% of the people, just like that, without knowing, they probably can't do it. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.